8:39, nos vamos hasta Ucrania a hablar de la situación en el frente ucraniano y cómo está esta etapa de la guerra. ¿Con quién vamos a hablar, Olga?
Joana, vamos a hablar con Mykola Beleskov, un experto militar ucraniano y analista del Instituto Nacional de los Estudios Estratégicos. Y bienvenido, señor Beleskov. La primera pregunta se trata de la situación muy preocupante en la planta nuclear de Zaporizhia. Rusia acusa a Ucrania de bombardear la planta y también acusa a los países occidentales de suministrar armamento pesado que podría resultar en una catástrofe nuclear. ¿Cuál es su opinión al respecto?
Good morning, Mr. Bielikov. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. And we wish to begin by asking you about your opinion about what's happening in the nuclear plant. Zaporizhia. There's been different arguments, but the truth is that people are starting to worry about this being a nuclear catastrophe. What is your opinion about what's happening in this nuclear plant?
Well, the situation at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant is very difficult one, very threatening one, and this is so because Russians basically using this nuclear power plant as a shelter, as a venue to shell our towns, cities, and they use the fact that we can't return fire. Because we are following the common sense and we don't want to have nuclear disaster in our own country. So basically they're exploiting this as a venue to shelter some of our towns, settlements in two oblasts, and they create very precarious, very difficult situation beyond the precedent. Because even the USSR was not so crazy to use a nuclear power plant, civilian nuclear power plant, as a shelter, as a venue to threaten without fear of retaliation and use the fire against civilians. So the situation is beyond the grasp, beyond the common sense, and very difficult one. That's why we try to involve international community to persuade, if it's possible indeed, to persuade Russia to stop doing this provocation, to stop creating this very difficult situation and to create this zone under auspices of the United Nations where workers can work freely, can work secure, and basically to remove everything in terms of hardware, weaponry they have at the nuclear power plant.
La situación en Zaporizhia es muy difícil, hay una amenaza latente y constante porque Rusia está usando esta planta como un refugio y desde allí atacan ciudades. Ellos no pueden contraatacar porque por sentido común no quieren crear un desastre nuclear. Están usando esta planta como refugio y esto va más allá del sentido común, más allá de lo que hizo en el pasado la Federación Rusa. Nos dice que están locos por usarlo porque es una amenaza y no tiene sentido común. Están atacando civiles desde allí y nos dice que están creando esta zona para blindarse y que Ucrania no pueda contraatacarlos. Es un refugio, así que lo que buscan es que esta zona pues se libere porque es una amenaza constante, como nos decía.
En los últimos días se están produciendo ataques por parte de fuerzas ucranianas en Crimea. ¿Qué resultado militar se persigue? ¿Qué objetivo se persigue con esos ataques en Crimea?
Recently we have seen some attacks in Crimea. What is your opinion in terms of what's the gain? What's the reasoning behind these attacks in Crimea?
Vamos a retomar la comunicación, Ana, porque parece que usted sabe que WhatsApp tiene esa complicación y es que cuando se pierde la señal o le entra una llamada, la llamada se cae. Así que parece que no pude escuchar la llamada. Vamos a ver si logramos restablecer la comunicación con Mykola Beleskov. Él es un experto militar, es investigador del Instituto Nacional de Estudios Estratégicos de la Presidencia de Ucrania. Es uno de los expertos militares ucranianos más famosos y respetados de ese país. Ahí está Ana para que le repita la pregunta, por favor.
We wanted to ask you, in terms of what's happening in Crimea, what could be the reasoning behind it? Why these new attacks in Crimea?
First of all, we can say it's a kind of attacks, it's a kind of explosion, because we don't know for sure what are the reasons. It's a kind of explosions, but this sequence of explosions that is taking place, they definitely favor Ukraine because they are related to the military sites or the logistics, and everything is related and is very good in the context of Ukrainian plans to persuade Russians that their position on a right bank of Dnipro at Kherson is untenable. So the fact that a number of military-related sites, they were the venue of these explosions, and Russia won't be able to use airfields or railway links and others, and it would affect their ability to defend the positions they have in the south of Ukraine. Definitely, this sequence of explosion, it's favorable for Ukraine, and it's very good in the context of future goodwill gestures that we would make Russia to do. We try to persuade them that their position on the right bank of Dnipro River is untenable, and that's why it's better for them to withdraw, the same as they did at the Serpent Island. And also it's about the picture, you know, that you can't wage war on a sovereign territory of Ukraine and think that territory under your control, because of course Crimea is Ukraine, the territory under your control would be safe and secure without any kind of explosion. And also it's very important psychologically, because you have to remember that this war started with mass exodus, mass flee of Ukrainian civilian population, and now this row of explosions, row of accidents, it made Russians that are illegally present in Crimea make them flee. So basically in a half a year of this high intensity war, we reciprocated, basically the situation reciprocated, and it's also very good psychologically.
Nos dice que no tienen explicación estas explosiones y estos ataques que se han visto pues recientemente, la razón no la saben, pero nos dice que psicológicamente es muy importante para Ucrania, porque nos dice que cuando esta guerra comenzó hubo una salida masiva de ucranianos de su territorio, y nos dice que todas estas explosiones están creando que todos los rusos presentes en Crimea se están yendo y se están saliendo de ese territorio. Es un territorio que dicen que está ilegalmente ocupado por los rusos, así que psicológicamente les conviene en ese sentido, y nos dice que también le conviene a Ucrania en ese sentido, porque logísticamente y con los ataques que están generando en este territorio, pues están logrando hacer su punto de lo que está pasando en la guerra.
¿No es preocupante que esta se convierta en una guerra eterna, en la que Rusia no sea capaz de controlar las zonas ocupadas, pero Ucrania tampoco tenga la posibilidad de recuperarlas?
Isn't it something to worry about that this could turn out to be, you know, an eternal war in which Russia has a problem maintaining control of the places they have already, in theory, gained control, but Ukraine, on the other hand, can take control back of these areas. So isn't it worrying that this, you know, unstable scenario could end up being, you know, an eternal war?
If you're talking about possible stalemate that might happen, might result in inability of both sides to wage effective offensive operation, right here, right now, we try to make Russians to do this goodwill gesture to withdraw from the right bank of Dnipro. We exploited the fact that Russian grouping of forces is very dependent on just the bridges that link both banks of Dnipro, and you can't solve this problem moving additional reinforcement. You even make situation more difficult, because number of troops are depending on the same three links that are vulnerable towards continuous artillery strikes. So we try, even with limited means, because yes, for classic World War II offensive, we lack heavy weaponry of proper categories, but even with limited means we were provided by our Western partners, we still try to do our best. In this case, we try to make Russians do a goodwill gesture to withdraw, by making them understand that their position is untenable, vulnerable. And if we do so, and I think it's my opinion that we have fair chances that it would indeed happen, It would be a very good picture because we would demonstrate the whole world and especially the Western countries that are most consistent supporters of Ukraine, NATO countries, that Russia can indeed be beaten even with limited means. That's why it would strengthen the hand of those in Europe, in America, and all over the world who are for arming Ukraine, who are for strengthening Ukraine. And we demonstrate the whole world that we can crush Russia militarily in defense. And with this one successful hybrid offensive, we can strengthen our hand and ensure more supply of heavy weaponry and then conduct classical offensive operations. So nothing is settled at this stage of war, and this scenario of stalemate is not predicted, premeditated.
Pues nos dice que en este punto no se puede predecir lo que va a pasar. Ellos tienen medios limitados, armas limitadas que le provee Occidente y con eso se están defendiendo de Ucrania. Y nos dice que están tratando de hacer lo mejor para que los rusos se rindan y se vayan de su territorio y entiendan que están en una posición vulnerable. Si logran este objetivo, que es lo que quieren hacer, dice que es una buena fotografía. Se le puede demostrar al mundo y a Occidente en específico que con su apoyo, con el apoyo de la OTAN, Rusia puede ser derrotado, incluso con estos recursos limitados que ellos tienen, porque nos dice que es muy poco lo que poseen para poder responderle a Rusia y en ese sentido se puede demostrar al mundo que Rusia se puede derrotar y que Ucrania tiene una defensa sólida y hasta ahora pues eso es lo que están tratando de realizar.
En su entrevista a The Washington Post, el presidente de Ucrania, Volodymyr Zelensky, explicó por qué, a pesar de las advertencias de los servicios de inteligencia del país, de los países del occidente, no estuvo preparado para la guerra y por eso recibió mucha crítica por parte de los ucranianos. La crítica ha sido justa y si el gobierno de Ucrania hizo lo suficiente para prepararse para la guerra.
In a recent interview with the Washington Post, President Zelensky, spoke about not receiving enough warnings from the Western and from the intelligence in terms of the beginning of the war. He has received several critics from people around the world saying that Ukraine did not prepare enough for the war. Do you believe that Ukraine did enough to prepare for this war?
Well, it depends what you mean about being prepared for this war. Definitely, we could have done more in this 3.5 months when we were warned, when this intelligence assessment were first published, hints of intelligence assessment published in Western mass media. But what kind of preparation would it have been? We could have done this so-called strategic deployment, so moving more forces towards the borderland. We could have done some engineering work to prepare positions for defense. We also could do more in terms of creating these territorial defense forces where local people with arms, they can defend their own towns, villages, and so on. But being prepared for the biggest regional war in Europe since 1945 on its own, as for me, this task is not up to the capabilities of any single European country. So sooner or later, even if we done more in these 3.5 months, we would come to our Western partners and ask for assistance, because in 3.5 months you can buy more heavy weaponry, you can buy enough armor and so on. So as for me, this whole story, it doesn't provide us more details. It steers debates that already been discussed in Ukraine. And as for me, it's only did a kind of damage, because we know what was done, what was not done. We have some complaints, maybe or not, but these stories, they can change what happened, but they can create problems like driving the wedge between political leadership and its own population. And despite all maybe some things that was not done, the major fact that President of Ukraine remained in Kyiv, the major fact that he didn't flee, he remained with Ukraine, he organized the assistance, and it created a kind of confidence, and he regained the confidence among Ukrainians That's why, as for me, this whole article is, I can say that it adds something we already didn't know, but yes, it creates some problems for us, like undermining confidence in the president who demonstrated that he is up to fighting Russians.
Well, Mykola Bielyskov, thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you today in our show, and we hope peace returns really soon in Ukraine.
Thank you very much.
Dice que depende de lo que uno se refiera con prepararse mejor para esta guerra. Ellos, por supuesto, que pudieron hacer más en estos 3.5 meses en los que le avisaron antes del ataque ruso. La inteligencia y se filtró en los medios en Occidente en ese tiempo, 3.5 meses, y qué pudieron haber hecho en esos 3.5 meses, a lo mejor desplegar más fuerzas en la frontera, a lo mejor hacer más trabajo de ingeniería, hacer más en términos de pues prepararse dentro de su territorio comprando armas, pero nos dice que es una guerra muy grande y cómo se prepara un solo país europeo para esta guerra regional que no se había visto desde 1945, eso no es capacidad de un solo país en Europa, así que en esos 3.5 meses, aunque pudieron haber hecho más, iban a necesitar ayuda de sus aliados en Occidente, asistencia de todo tipo de armas y de otros medios para poder contrarrestar lo que estaba haciendo Rusia en ese territorio. Así que nos dice que lo que hacen estos reportes de prensa es bastante perjudicial porque no pueden cambiar la historia de lo que pasó, pero sí pueden crear problemas internos dentro de la población ucraniana de que se hizo o no se hizo. Lo que hay que rescatar es la labor que ha hecho el presidente ucraniano dentro del territorio, se quedó en Kiev y le hizo frente a esta guerra, así que para él eso es lo importante.